Starting the message a little different this morning, but I just wanted to let you know the path that we're taking in our series that Kelly actually created through her suggestion. In the first week, we came out with the sacrifice of praise, and we said that whatever we do, we want to praise the Lord. The second week, we looked at Job, and we said that in all situations, we can still praise God for what he's gotten us through. Last week, we did Come As You Are, which meant that God accepts us just as we are. And to this week, we're moving over to My Chains Are Gone, I'm Free. And the burdens that we have, the things that affect us, are tremendous in each of our lives. Andrew was very brave to stand up here and to let us acknowledge that he sees things a little differently. But we all see things differently. And we all have our own chains that need to be broken. For some of us, it's compulsive disorders. I worked with a social worker when I was working with Legacy, that when we went to lunch and he'd have a hamburger, every one of his little packages of ketchup had to be stacked in a neat row, and the mayonnaise in a neat row, and the relish in a neat row. And then if he'd forget something, we'd go and mess him up for him. And before he could eat, he'd have to go back and stack him back. Over the years, I've kind of got rid of some of my control disorder, but not all. It's at a point where when I was pastor, I did everything because nobody could do it as well as I could do it. Nobody mopped the floors the way I wanted them mopped. Nobody did the worship folder the way I wanted it done. Over the years, I've kind of relaxed that. So that chain has been broken. But there are other chains that are even worse that we each face. And some of them are abuse, that we have been abused, or that in our anger we may abuse somebody else verbally, or hopefully not physically. But today I thought, gee, how am I going to start this message? And looking at what Kelly did for the banner today, My Chains Are Gone, I remember that when my folks were married, I was about two or three years old, and I threw a temper tantrum. Very unusual for me. My dad, I got down and I pounded my head on the floor in my rage of anger, and my dad came up and grabbed me by the back of the head and pounded my head on the floor, and he said, if you want to cry over something, I'll give you something to cry over. Well, fortunately, over the years, he found control for his anger. But because it's situations like that and the struggle that my folks went through, I developed a tremendous stuttering and speech impediment. And for 8 years of school, I went to speech therapy every Tuesday and Thursday for half an hour because I just could not say a lot of words. Every Thanksgiving, I would say that my mom was fixing a cookie in the oven for us to eat, because I could not say the word turkey. That was just one of those words. Then when I was a senior in high school, I worked in the Dean of Boys' office because I was ready to graduate at the end of my junior year, but I had to stay that extra year and take one class, so I took a lot of classes that I wanted to take. And the Dean of Boys was out of the office one day, so I looked in my file. And I read a psychologist's report that said that he predicted that I would never speak correctly, that I would never graduate from high school because of the emotional problems that I had. But I did. Because my chains were broken, because God told me that I was somebody of worth, somebody he loved. And that's the message that over the last 30 years I have tried to spread out to everyone, that God loves us for who we are. And he wants us to change, but he's there to help us change. So we all have chains. Let's break those chains. Let's become whole. We want to please God. When we surrender our life to God, when we were born again spiritually, God gave us a new nature. And our new nature wants to live in agreement with God's word and with his will. However, Our old sinful nature constantly tries to reassert itself into our lives. And that attempt generally causes us to experience a sense of exasperation and also a sense of confusion. We may ask questions such as, what is going on? Why am I struggling? Why am I unable to have victory over this? Why is this happening to me? Have I failed God? Am I missing something? Is there a way to be free? And from our Bible studies over the years, and from the lectures and sermons that Pastor John has taken us through recently, we have learned that Paul experienced the same type of struggle. He described it in Romans 7:15. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. Paul struggled with the same conflict that you and I struggle with. And it is the struggle of his attempt to live his life for Jesus. He openly shared that struggle with us. By being transparent, he wanted to be an encouragement by sharing his struggle. He hoped to help free us from our struggle. And he had come to the end of his rope. In verse 24, we read, "What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from the body, from this body of death?" Now, it's apparent that Paul had come to see his own self-effect for what it was. It was not enough. Now, he will share with us the key to being free at last. Please turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 4, or follow on the overhead. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of death set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. My message today has 3 points. Sin cannot claim you. Sin cannot condemn you. Sin cannot control you. Now, the first thing that we need to understand is that sin cannot claim us. Let's look again at verses 1 and 2. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. The Bible teaches us that when we were sinners, we were under condemnation. Those who have heard about and have not accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior are sinners. They are under condemnation. We deserve judgment before we became followers of Jesus. But the good news is the Bible also teaches that when we came to Christ, we were forgiven. The guilt of sin was lifted, and we are now free. The message teaches these words. With the arrival of Jesus the Messiah, that faithful dilemma is resolved. Those who enter into Christ being here for us no longer have to live under a continuous, low-lying black cloud. A new power is in operation. The spirit of life in Christ is like a strong wind, has magnificently cleared the air, freeing you from a faithful lifetime of brutal tyranny at the hands of sin and death. Pretty plainly stated for us. But knowing we are free and walking in that freedom is difficult. Our primary difficulty is in dealing with our old nature. It is the struggle itself that causes us to feel condemned. Interestingly, the word for condemnation in this verse is a very interesting word. Not only does it have to do with judgment, but it also refers to a piece of land on which there was a prior claim. Now, sometimes I believe we feel like that. We feel that perhaps the title search was not thorough enough in our lives when we committed ourselves to Jesus. We might feel that there is still a lien on our lives. And Paul is telling us that sin cannot claim us because Jesus has set us free. The good news is Jesus has set us free. The law no longer has any jurisdiction. We are free in Jesus Christ. We are free from the bondage of sin. We are free from the law of death. We are free to live in a dynamic relationship with Jesus. We are free in Christ Jesus. And the truth of what the scripture is saying is that in Jesus, we have been set free. That is the truth. It is the truth whether you want to believe it or not. It is the truth whether you feel it or not. And this is the key. God is not calling upon us to act upon our feelings, but to act upon the truth of His Word. What we really need is a new self-image. We need a self-image that is based on the truth of God's Word, not a self-image based upon how we feel. We must know our standing in Christ. We are personally free in Christ. And you're going to hear that same word over and over in this message. We are personally freed in Christ. Sin cannot claim us. We are in Jesus. Jesus, once again, has set us free from the law of sin and death. Sin cannot claim us because our chains of sin and bondage are broken. We are free again. Reading from the message, God went for the juggler when He sent His own Son. Second thing that we need to remember is that sin cannot condemn us. Let's look at verse 3. For what the law was powerless to do, and that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so He condemned sin in sinful man. The next thing we need to see is that sin cannot condemn us. We just read that there is, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because Jesus condemned the sin, not the sinner. Please hear this. Jesus condemned the sin, but He did not condemn the sinner. By His work on the cross, Jesus judged sin. He paid the penalty for all of our sin. And He released us from the condemnation of sin through His death and His resurrection. Jesus did what we could not do. It says here, for what the law was powerless to do, and that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did. The law code weakened as it always was by fractured human nature, could never have done that. What Jesus did when He went to the cross could be called the greatest transaction in history. There He made a complete payment for our sin. Jesus took all of the sin upon Himself on that cross. The things that you have done wrong, the things that you are ashamed of, the things that you have struggled over, the things that you have been guilty over, Jesus bore on that cross. Sins of actions, sins of attitudes, our willful rebellion against God, our wrongful relationships with one another, Jesus bore all of them on the cross for us. And through his death, he paid the penalty for our sin. He was judged instead of us. Because he was judged for our sins, we can now go free. That's awesome. Not only did Jesus bear every sin that we have ever committed, but he also bore every sin we ever will commit. Listen up. I have an important message for you. That does not give you a license to sin. And there are some churches that believe you can. But it does mean that when Jesus died on the cross, the sins of humanity were judged there. All sins, past, present, and future, have been judged. The penalty has been paid. However, we must ask for that forgiveness. And we then enter into that freedom as we begin to understand it and to walk in it by the Spirit. Someone once said, "The only way to survive is to know that God loves me as I am and not as I should be. That he loves me beyond worthiness and unworthiness, beyond fidelity and infidelity, that he loves me in the morning sun and in the evening rain, without caution, regret, boundary, limit, or breaking point. That no matter what I do, he will not stop loving me when I'm really in conscious communication with the reality of wild, passionate, relentless, stubborn, pursuing tender love of Christ for me. Then it is not that I have to, or that I must, or that I should, or that I ought. Suddenly, I want to change because I know how deeply I am loved." Now, the biggest mistake I can make is to say to God, "Lord, if I change, you will love me, will you not?" And the Lord's reply is always, "Wait a minute. You've got it all wrong. You do not have to change so I will love you. I love you so you will change." I simply expose myself to that, to the love that is everything, and have an immense, unshakable, reckless, raging confidence that God loves me so much that he will change me and fashion me into the child that he has always wanted me to be. And the third point that we want to remember is that sin cannot control you. Let's look at verse 4. "And so he condemned sin in sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit." Finally, we need to understand that sin cannot control us. We struggle with sin, but we have the victory. We have the victory because we are in Jesus, and also because God is presently at work in us. The hymn that we opened the service with this morning, "O victory in Jesus, my Savior, forever he sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath his cleansing flood." It is not simply because of something that happened 2,000 years ago on that cross on Calvary that we are able to live in freedom. God is now at work in us. Sin cannot control us because God is at work in us to change us. And part of God's work in us is to conform us to Jesus' image. God wants our character to be like Christ. He wants us to live out our lives like Jesus lived his. And that is what it means to walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit means that we live our lives in total and complete dependence upon the leadership of God. We see this clearly in the life of Christ. How did he live his life? In the Gospel of John, we learn that Jesus continually emphasized that he lived by direct dependence on God's guidance and power. John 5:19 says, Jesus therefore answered and said to them, "Verily, verily, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner." John 8:28 says, "I do nothing on my own initiative, but I speak these things as the Father taught me." And John records Jesus saying these types of things over and over and over again. He lived his life by being dependent on God's leadership, and we must do the same. Last Sunday, during our communion service, we observed that Jesus said, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." That's what the new covenant is all about. The old covenant, typified by the law, had man working his way to acceptance with God. We failed miserably at that. And we still do. Sadly, many of the churches in our contemporary society are still teaching that. You'll be saved by your works. They're preaching that it's all about our performance. They're teaching that it's all about doing good works. But the new covenant is exactly the opposite. The new covenant means that everything comes from God and nothing comes from us. The new covenant means that everything comes from God and nothing comes from you. The new covenant frees us from the tyranny of having to be perfect. Boy, if we had to be perfect, this room would be empty right now. It frees us to walk by the leadership of the Spirit. And walking in the Spirit means that we consult with God about our priorities. Walking in the Spirit means that we can give up trying to do it on our own. Walking in the Spirit liberates from the clamoring demands and expectations of others. And walking in the Spirit means our one priority is to please God, not by being perfect, but by being His. By Jesus' death on the cross, he has freed us to be his. Here's an object lesson. I have two pieces of paper. On one, I have written habits, lust, money, anger. And in the center, I have written self. On the other, I have written God or Jesus in the middle. Usually what happens is that we want to give God things, but our self is still in control. On the other paper, God, Jesus, same person, is in control, and we give ourselves to him. Ultimately, we need the filling of the Holy Spirit so that we may glorify Christ. But how do we glorify Christ? We glorify Christ when we live for God, trusting, loving, and obeying him. Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Paul said, "Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." What a concept. Everything we do should glorify God. Now this brings us to the heart of the problem. Why do we need the fullness of the Holy Spirit? Because only in the power of the Spirit can we live a life that glorifies God and that frees us from the bondage of sin. We cannot be victorious over sin or glorify God in the energy of the flesh. Remember Paul's cry in Romans 7, "I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate." I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do is not what I want to do. In the power of the Holy Spirit, we can live a life that increasingly glorifies God. Verse 24 and 25, Paul says, "What a wretched man I am! Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." God, the Holy Spirit, gives us power for a purpose. The power to help us glorify God in every dimension of our lives. Which one of those papers represents you today? Do you need the fullness of the Spirit today? Do you need to be set free? Jesus said, "If you're holding to my teaching, you are really my disciple, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Do you want to be free right now? Now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Are you beating yourself up over your performance for God? Therefore, there is no condemnation for who are in Christ Jesus. Are you tired? Are the burdens too heavy to bear? Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." The promises of God can go on and on, but ultimately it's up to you to decide if you're tired of living a defeated Christian life. There is a better way. Please bow your heads, close your eyes. Search yourself. If you're tired and weary, come to the altar and let one of our pastors pray with you, so that you can leave here today with the victory in your life and singing "Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Broken."